to the gold. Trust him, who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him, his soul. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, bless his earthly gain. Take new carriage, we cannot tell what tomorrow may bring. When the dark cloud vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him, his song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven first sky, when it seemed the fortune of earth frowned and passed us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasures untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him, his song. Sing and be happy today. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust in him, who leads you, he is with us through your soul. Let the world know and be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Amen. Certainly it is good to see you here today, and it's good to be here today. Just before I introduce our guest speaker, I do want to say something about what occurred here on yesterday. We had our youth day seminar on yesterday. We had a great time. We had a great attendance. Altogether, we had 133 persons in attendance. We were very pleased with those numbers. Those who participated in the various activities, I think, did a good job. I think that everybody who attended was benefited, was edified, was encouraged, and enjoyed the fellowship that was afforded by our youth seminar on yesterday. And we have good reason to be thankful for our young people, those who participated in various capacities. We are grateful for your participation, and we want to encourage you to continue to strive to be faithful Christians as young people in the kingdom of God. We want to express our appreciation to all of the adults, those who are on various committees, who plan this youth seminar. Brother Gary Davis served as the coordinator for the youth seminar, and we want to let him and all of those who worked cooperatively with him know that we appreciate the very fine job that was done. I want to ask all of the adults that played a role in contributing to the success of the youth seminar to stand at this point. I just want people to see you. I want you to stand if you were involved in any way in the carrying out, the planning and carrying out of the youth seminar. Okay. I think, go ahead. And I wanted the adults to remain standing. Yeah, remain standing, please. Remain standing. If you participate in the youth seminar, remain standing. Now, I want all of the young people who took an active role in whatever capacity to stand. Okay, very good. We appreciate that very good, very much. And we want to encourage you to continue to be involved in the work of the Lord. You may be seated. I also want to let you know that yesterday's youth seminar would not have been as successful without the presence of a number of other adult Hart Street members. I encourage you to be here, if at all possible, to support this effort. And a good number of you came and attended. And your being here, showing your support, was a very positive contribution to the overall success of the youth seminar on yesterday. And so I just wanted to thank you, because it would not have been as successful had you not been present, lending your physical presence and support by being in attendance on yesterday. I'm standing before you to introduce our guest speaker for today. He's not a stranger to the Hart Street congregation. He has preached at Hart Street before. And I heard a number of good and positive comments that were made. My brother Larry, who attends 40th Avenue, is always singing the praises of Roderick Armstrong. And since I first met Brother Armstrong several years ago, I've been very impressed by his spirit of enthusiasm and his spirit of sincerity and his spirit of seriousness and his spirit of commitment to the cause of the Lord. As a gospel preacher and as a New Testament Christian, I've been very impressed and continue to be impressed with Brother Roderick. I'm honored to be able to count him as a friend and to count him as a colleague in ministry, and we are just delighted to have him with us today. It doesn't seem like it's been as long as it has, but he has been married for 5 years, so he has quite a bit of experience under his belt. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's been that long, so he's an old married man now. He's married to Latika. Of course, she probably doesn't appreciate me calling her husband an old married man, but we appreciate him. He's been married 5 years, and he's been preaching about 5 years as well. He graduated this past April from the Nashville School of Preaching and Biblical Studies. He also works as a pediatric nurse at Vanderbilt University, and he has been at Vanderbilt for 10 years. And now, not only is he a great husband, but he's coming right along as a father, because he has a beautiful little daughter, Kendall, and she is 15, is that correct? 15 months. She is about ready soon to enter the arena of the terrible twos. So you're going to have some interesting experiences ahead, sir. And we are delighted to have his wife, Latika, and his daughter, Kendall, with us today. You know, she wanted to be here with her husband. She was conflicted because they are having special family and friends day at 40th Avenue, where Brother Armstrong serves as assistant minister. And he'd already made his commitment to be here with us today when they decided they were going to have their Family and Friends Day. And his devoted wife, she said, I want to be at 40th, but I'm going to go with my husband. And so she's here with him today, and we appreciate that very much. We know we're in store for an excellent message, a great spiritual treat in the lesson that will be presented by Brother Roderick Armstrong. You don't have to worry about him pulling any tricks on you. He's offering nothing but treats today from the Word of God. Now, the devil will trick you, but the Lord will treat you. He specializes in providing wonderful treats for those who bow themselves in humble submission to his divine will. It gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce to those of you who do not yet know him and to present to those of you who already know him our guest speaker for today, Brother Roderick Armstrong. And he will come, if you don't have a song selected, I was going to select number 15 or suggest 15. That's the one. We are thinking along the same lines. Brother Brown's going to lead us in number 15 in the supplemental book. And then the next voice you hear will be that of Brother Armstrong.
When we reach that city of the New Jerusalem, we gon' sing hallelujah by and by. How the rest of singers will together the hymn. We gon' sing hallelujah by and by. Sing hallelujah by and by. In that mighty chorus, voices will so sweetly blend. We'll sing hallelujah by and by. Gone will be our sadness, pleasures there will never end. We're gonna sing hallelujah by and by. Sing hallelujah by and by. Victory and love will be our everlasting theme. We're gonna sing hallelujah by and by. Praising our Redeemer there beside the crystal stream. We're gonna sing hallelujah by and by.
Amen. Amen. Amen once again. Amen. Let the saints of the Lord say amen.
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen.
Amen.
The Lord has blessed us all with a holy calling to be here once again to worship him in spirit and in truth. We know that the psalmist says that this is the day the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. God has given us all something special to rejoice about. God has given us the ability this morning to wake up to put one foot in front of another. There were many that didn't wake up this morning. Many that woke up that were not able to put one foot in front of another. But for some reason, God gave us the ability to be here to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I think anytime we come together as a church, we should rejoice together regardless of the situations we're going through, regardless of the storms or the trials or tribulations that you're experiencing in your life. You have to realize that God is a good God. He's good in the good days, and he's better in the bad days. I would like to bring a special greeting from the 40th Avenue congregation. Our youth wanted to be here this morning as well, but we decided to have a family and friends day, and it's our youth Sunday at 40th as well. So Tika and I and my daughter, we're here, and everybody else is at 40th, but guess what? We're all family, so I'm still in the Lord's house, so it really doesn't matter as long as I'm worshiping God. I'm very thankful for being here this morning, to be here once again. I was thinking, I said, when was the last time I was at Hart Street? It was in 2009. Life has really flown by. Before I get started this morning, I would like to thank your wonderful eldership that's always so kind and gracious to me, Brother Daniel and Brother Proud, for allowing me to come back and be with you once again. And also, I would like to thank your wonderful minister, Amanzo Jones, for inviting me over to be with you on this Youth Sunday. Also, I have a real good friend in the audience, Sister Yolanda from the Lawrence Avenue congregation. We are colleagues at Vanderbilt, and I'm proud to say that she's my sister in Christ as well. It's good to see you, Yolanda. Before we get started this morning, I've always been told by my father-in-law that you should allow people to think about what's coming so they can salivate a little bit. Well, this evening's message will be entitled Seeking Life But Desiring Death. So that's what we're going to talk about after our meal. But this morning I was asked to speak on something that the youth could relate to, that the youth could connect to. But we also realize that if the youth can relate to it and connect with it, adults can do the same thing. Because I know that there are many adults that call themselves adults, but they act like children. The Bible says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away my childish ways. See, that's what's wrong with our world today. It's too many adults in this world that have not put away their childish ways. Therefore, we ask ourselves, why do children act the way they act? It's because their parents act crazy as well. We have to realize and we have to look in the mirror sometime, and we have to fix up ourselves before we can fix up the children in the Lord's church. This morning, we're going to look at a topic, when right is wrong. When right is wrong, and the right that I'm using is R-I-T-E. When right is wrong, the invitational song for this morning will be 644, so if you can mark your songbooks, 644. When right is wrong. We live in a world that is full of traditionalism. A world that teaches the traditions or the doctrine of man. We live in a world where families, they hold on to traditions of family members rather than holding on to what God says in his holy and divine word. We have things that are objects that are passed down from generation to generation. For example, sagging your britches, that's been passed down from generation to generation. But if we go back and we find out where people started to sag their britches at, God started to sag their britches in prison. And the reason why they sagged their britches in prison, it meant that they were open. It meant that they were available to other men. See, if you're a man, a real man, and you're in prison, you wear a belt and you have that belt on as tight as it can go on because you want those britches to stay up. You don't want to send any messages to somebody that you're something that you're really not. Also, when we look at our young ladies today, young ladies at times have a difficult choice or different difficult decisions to make because they don't know what's the right thing to wear and what the wrong thing is to wear. See, the world paints a pretty picture on how you have to look a certain way, on how your clothes have to fit a certain way, so that young men can see everything that the good Lord has blessed you with. See, society tells us to wear our shirts down so that people can see the cleavage and look in and see what you have to offer. Well, I tell you, that's not purity. But see, this message that we're getting is the message that the world is sending to our children. The world says that this is okay. You have Beyonce that says that the young girls have to wear the freakum dresses. They have to wear the short skirts that leaves everything to wonder in your mind, this is not right. But you know, as I look around the church, our adults don't look any different than the children. Our adults, we're not painting a good picture, a good Christian example for the youth of tomorrow. We are good speakers, but we're not good teachers by the way we walk and live our lives. I'm going to tell you what you need to do, but don't pay attention to what I'm doing because I'm not going to do it myself because I'm just a big hypocrite. But because I'm an adult, you have to listen to me. See, when we look at this passage of scripture this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, something that we have to realize at the outset is that Satan wants our minds. Satan wants control. And the way that Satan controls our youth today, Satan controls their mind. And if Satan has the mind, he has the body as a willing vessel to do whatever he wants it to do. So in the Lord's church, we have to take back our children's minds. We have to get them to think about those things that are holy, those things that are just, those things that are pure, those things that are becoming as a Christian. See, Paul knew something that was very important to extend to Timothy. See, Paul knew that Timothy, he said, I'm getting ready to leave you, Timothy. And Timothy, I know some things are going to go on in this world that I wouldn't stand for. But what I want you to do, Timothy, is I want you to hold on to God's unchanging hand. That's what Paul was saying. I want you to hold on to those things that I taught you, those things that you learned from me. The example that you saw in me, these are the things I want you to hold on to. See, our youth have very big decisions to make in their lives. Amen. Our sermon is going to wrap around three C's: circumstances, choices, and commitments. In your life, your circumstances, your choices, and your commitment will be what determines if you a sheep or a goat, if you will go to heaven, or if you will end up in hell. I'm telling you, if you're not obedient to the word of God, the scripture clearly says that you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. Roger. See, when we look at this, I have a story because I still think about this sometimes. I still cry at night about this story sometimes. We have a mentorship program at 40th. I had two twin seniors. They weren't doing too well in high school. So I would go up to the school at least once or twice a week, check on them, have conferences with their teachers, do whatever I could to help them where they graduated. Now the one that was the most, that was the brightest, he had a future coming. He had just gotten into MTSU. He was leading songs in worship. He was a part of communion. He went to all the youth activities. And he called me one day after graduation. He said, I'm going to go to Atlanta. And I said, what are you going to Atlanta for? He said, I'm going to go down and visit with my cousin. And I said, well, I think you need to go to summer school. I don't think you need to go to Atlanta. He said, I'm going to go. I said, I don't think you need to go. And he said, I'm an adult. I'm going to Atlanta. I said, okay. He went to Atlanta 2 days later. Got a call from his mama. He had been shot in the head 2 times. His cousin, an adult, 40 years old, who was supposed to be looking out for him, had their crew. He was riding with them, sitting in the car. They went in and robbed the house. When they were coming out of the house, the person started shooting. He got shot, died. Choices, circumstances, and commitments. I think about this all the time. I wonder, is there anything that I could have done differently? This young man, he had become like a son to me. He was always over my house. Even when I was at work, he would come over to the house sometime, and my wife would talk to him. He would come and clean up things around the house to make some money so we could keep him off the streets. Choices, circumstances, and commitments. As we look at this sermon, Satan's design is to take the young person's mind. How does he take the young person's mind? Satan takes the young person's mind through choices. When we look at choices, there are several choices that we can make in our lives. The environment that we live in is full of choices. We live in an entertainment-driven society. This entertainment-driven society is full of social media. It's full of music. It's full of movies. And Satan takes our children's mind by this. It's okay for our children to Skype. It's okay for them to be on Facebook. It's okay for them to Twitter. But as an adult, as a parent, you have to monitor these type of things and teach them how to communicate the right thing in the right way. But too often we allow our children to be involved in things that we don't know anything about. And then somebody come to you and they say, did you know your child? Well, I don't even know how to get on Facebook. Well, if you don't know how to get on there, then they don't need to be on it. See, Satan takes our children's mind by this music that they listen to. You know, when I look back, I think about some of the music that I used to listen to. And I like the beat of the music. But now that I am an adult, I think about the lyrics that the music was speaking to me, and those lyrics took control of my mind, because everything the song said, then indirectly, I wanted to be that person. I wanted to do those things. You know, a very popular song that's out there right now, which a lot of our children know, it's a songwriter. His name is Miguel, and he has a song, and his song is entitled, I Don't Want to Be Loved. And just listen to this for just a second. Listen to the type of message that Satan is sending out to our children through the music that they listen to. Now, what Miguel says is, Mommy, you looking like I'm just another guy. That I came to check you. that I came to wreck you. No disrespect, but mommy, that's correct, cause what's in them jeans? Now listen, what's in them jeans is not about who you are or what you have. It's about what you have in those jeans, and that's what I'm trying to get to. So what happens? These little ladies, they say, I have to get the right jeans because the right jeans will make me look the right way. And if I look the right way, the right guy will come and talk to me. What's in those jeans just got my mind hectic. See, now my choices as a young man is starting to change because now I'm not thinking on the principles and the oracles of God. The Bible says that all that is in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And now this song is making me lust. I'm thinking things that I don't know why I'm thinking it, but it's the music that I've been listening to. I can see that you're feeling my passion. Is it cause I'm flashing? Or is it this cash that's just way too reckless? Or is it this necklace? Wait, let me interrupt myself with this message. Now listen to the chorus. You know, I listen sometimes to this song on the way to work, and I don't listen to the words. And now that I read the words, I say, I can't be listening to this song anymore. See, we have to tell the truth on ourselves. Telling on yourselves will help the children learn how to deal with situations. I'm not perfect. The same situation that you've been through, I've been through. Some of the mistakes that I made, you're making or you're gonna make. It's not right, but guess what? You can get up and get out of it. See, I don't wanna be loved. I don't wanna be loved. I just want a quickie. No scratches. No bite marks, no hickeys. If you can get with that, mommy, come get with me. I don't want to be loved. I don't want to be loved. I just want a quick fix. Up in your mix, miss. Send me your wish list. I have you addicted. So come and get this. What is that saying? That is saying that when right is wrong, it's saying that the Bible says that you should be married. See, sex is a very special thing. Sex is a gift given from God that should be enjoyed inside of a marriage relationship. But see, what this world is telling us, what this world is telling our young people is, it's okay. You have to test the waters. You have to see how the boat floats. What it's saying right here in this song is, you don't need to be loved. Sex is not between two people that love each other. Right. This is just something that you can do on the side. You don't have to have a relationship. But guess what? With this, statistics say 50% of high school students are sexually active. Most of them by 15 years of age. 25% of high school students, by the time they're senior year, they've had four sexual partners. Four sexual partners. Now, if we know the truth, sometimes as adults, we turn our cheeks. We turn our eyes away from what's really going on. We have to pay attention. Now, the church is just a microcosm of the world. Everything that goes on in the world is going on in the church. So we know what's going on in the church. We have to teach the children in the church. This is one thing that irks me sometimes. And I may get some opposition to this, but I get tired of hearing people say what shouldn't be taught in the church. This is not the right place to teach this type of stuff. Well, where are we going to teach you that? Where are we going to teach you that? Because we don't go over their house to see them. We don't go to their schools to visit them. We don't have a relationship with them. So therefore, they're not going to listen anyway. We have to teach these type of things in the church. We have to teach children how to be pure. We have to teach children how to date the right way. Don't tell them they can't date because they're going to do it anyway behind your back. So you better teach them how to date as a Christian. Choices, circumstances, and commitments. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 22 and 6 to train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they get old, they will not flee or depart from it. Now, we train our children up in the church, not only by what we say, but by what we do. The Bible says over in James that faith without works is dead, being alone. If we say we have faith, but we don't connect it with works, being obedient to Jesus Christ and being an example to these children, if they're on the wrong road, we're on the wrong road too. Our children today like it easy. Isn't it better? Tell me the truth. Isn't it better when something is easier in life than when it's difficult? Well, isn't it better when you have the answers to a test and you don't have to study? And you just have to grit in all the answers that you got right now? I'm not saying you cheat, but isn't that better? See, the road of least resistance is the road that is leading to damnation and to hell. If my grandmother told me all the time, if it's not worth working for, it's not worth having. And if you connect that to scripture, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus says himself to enter ye by the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many will enter therein. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way. Narrow and difficult is the way that leads to life. And few therein will find it. Few will enter that difficult way because we don't like difficult things in our lives. Kids don't like it when it's difficult and they have to study. Adults don't like it when it's difficult and they have to do things that they don't want to do. Now, let's look at this. Now, we're talking about children. Let's turn the switch to adults. Now, every year around January 1, it's tax time. How many adults like it easy? How many adults in here have somebody's Social Security number on their tax form that they know they didn't take care of? See, this... we're laughing about this, but this is a very true thing. Everybody wants to do the most easiest thing to get ahead. And getting ahead in this world is not getting ahead in eternity. See, we have to think spiritual and physical. I may be blessed physically, but am I blessed spiritually from doing this act? Most of the time, no. We have to think about what we're doing. See, Satan is deceptive. The Bible tells us that he is cunning. Satan makes wrong appear right. Satan turns the bad things of the world into the good things. See, Satan makes, we all have to work. The adults in here to take care of families. But what Satan does, Satan says, okay, I'm going to give you some overtime on Sunday. You know you need this overtime. You just bought this new car. You just had a new baby. You got kids to take care of. You bought more than you can pay for. So puts this overtime. And what we say is we say, if I just miss one Sunday, it won't matter. So you miss that one Sunday, what happens? Then next Sunday, if I just miss one more Sunday, it won't matter. I'll be okay. See, but every time you miss, you're taking a step away from God. See, God, he's constant. See, that next Sunday come, it's gonna be okay. I'll be all right. And then it's become easier to you. Now you have started to live a lie, and the lie has become reality to you. How many of y'all in here have told a lie, and you told it so much and so good that you start to believe the lie that you're telling? You have convinced yourself that the lie is the truth. I'm going to tell you something. When I started working as a pediatric nurse, this same situation happened to me. Overtime came up. And you know, I started working. And when I looked back, I had been away from the church for a year. People calling me. What do you think I did? Didn't answer the phone. People coming by, what do you think I did? Didn't answer the door. But you know what I realized? I really wasn't getting ahead because every time I got extra money, something happened. I got extra $1,000, then I needed four tires on a car. Got extra money, here something else happened. Extra money, here something else happened. See, what I'm trying to tell you, it does not, is not a blessing to try to deceive God. You can't get ahead trying to deceive God. We can't. So the Lord needs somebody to stand. Anybody to stand for him. The scripture says, I charge you in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. He says one thing, to preach the word. He says, be instant in season and out of season. He says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And why do you do that? Because of their desires. Because they have desires for something else. The Bible tells us that for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. If we lift the Savior, Bible says that he will draw all men to him.
Yes, sir.
We need somebody to lift the Savior.
Amen.
See, what we need some ballers and callers. See, this is something that the youth can relate to. We need some ballers and callers for the Lord. See, we know what a baller is in society. It's somebody that has it all. It's somebody that has arrived. It's somebody that has money. It's somebody that has bling bling. But guess what? In Christ, we're ballers because our Father, he owns it all. So we all ballers in here. See, a baller, when you look at, when we relate it to sporting events, any of y'all youth play sports? Okay. We got youth that play sports. Football, basketball, anything like that. A baller is somebody that will defend the base. Somebody that will stand for what's right. Somebody that's a team player. Somebody that is all in regardless of the situation. I don't care how much we down, but I'm going to keep on fighting with you. I don't care how far we have to go, I'm going to stick with you, brother. I don't care how long the walk is going to be, I'm going to be there. See, the Lord needs people like that. The Lord needs ballers to hold up the blood-stained banner of Christ, to confess Christ against all odds, to do the will of God against all odds. But then if we have those youth that are not ballers, you may be a caller. We have any youth that are cheerleaders? Y'all like to cheer and scream at games, don't you? Yeah. You watch movies and laugh and giggle? Yeah. So here's what a caller is. A caller is somebody that's a cheerleader for the Lord. A caller is somebody that is an encourager for the Lord. A caller is somebody that does what thus saith the Lord. A caller is somebody that says, I'm not going to conform to the ways of this world because I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm not going to wear these short skirts. I'm not going to wear these low-cut skirts because I'm a person that stands for the Lord. I know what purity means. I know what modesty means. I know what the Lord has for me to do. And I'm going to do all those things because the Lord told me to. Ballers and callers. We all can relate to that some way or another. See, Paul knew something. He says a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So what this means by default is that during that time when Paul was speaking, that probably most of them were enduring sound doctrine. But what Paul was saying, a time is coming when they will no longer endure that sound doctrine. We know people that have been members of the Lord's church, then all of a sudden, they don't endure sound doctrine anymore. It's okay to shack up. It's okay to live with your boyfriend and girlfriend. It's okay to do all these devilish things. Because we now want to make right. We want to make wrong appear to be right. But in God's sight, the scriptures supply everything that we need. The Bible says, Paul says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jews first and to the Gentiles. See, the power is in the word of God. I don't care what you want to do, how your desires change, the power is in the word. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 12 that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof leads to destruction or death. What we think, how we feel, it doesn't matter if it doesn't match up with what God has for us in our lives. We have to stand on the promises of God, church. We have mixed up desires. You know, the church, we should be speaking the same thing. But how can we speak the same thing if we're not studying the same word? See, many of us come to worship every Sunday, and we only pick up our Bibles on Sunday when we come to worship. But then when something comes up in Bible study, we want to argue our point. Well, if your point is based on opinion, then you probably need to be quiet. Because you have to have your point based in Scripture. See, many of us don't know Scripture, but we know opinions. And opinions, everyone has an opinion. See, when we're thinking about opinions, opinions don't matter. The Word of God matters. And we have to stand on God's holy and divine Word. See, what happens is, see, God reads the story. We only see the headlines. How many times have you looked at the newspaper, adults or youth? Most of the youth look the sports page, right? Most of the time you look the sports page, what happened? You just want to see who won the game, right? Do you go down and do you read the stats? No. If it's your team, you read the stats. What about everybody else's team? No, you just concerned with one thing. I want to know who won the game. And see, in life, that's a lot of time how men are. I hate to say it, we only want to read the title. We don't want all the details. See, women want the details. And I've learned this since I got married. You know, I may go somewhere with some of my friends. Well, where were you at? Oh, I was just over old McKinley house. She looked, I was like, I was always out. Well, what did y'all do? Why did y'all do that? Why'd you do it that way? See, you want to know the details. See, God, in hindsight, he knows the details already. But we only see the blueprint. And the blueprint says, let's go have some fun. And as youth, a lot of times, we go have that fun, don't we? And we don't consider the consequences. Choices, circumstances, and commitments. But what you have to start asking yourself as a youth is, what will this require of me? What will I have to give up? Will I lose the influence that I have? Will I have to submit myself to somebody else? Will I have to serve somebody else? Matthew 6 and 24, it says that you can't serve God and mammon. Either you will love the one and hate the other. We can't serve both of them. So what will this require of me?
Yes, sir.
I know with serving God what it requires of me. It requires me to submit. Amen. When you submit, it just means that you are committed to God. God, I'm on your team. I know you have my back and I got your back. When my friends go left, God, I'm going to go right because you right there lead me.
Amen.
See, we have to convict our youth with the word of God. You know, that was an awesome thing that went on yesterday, your seminar you had here. You all did a wonderful thing here. But one thing I was disappointed with is that more churches didn't make the decision to bring their youth. You know, I work with youth, and I know sometimes we get activity-oriented. We want to take the youth on camping trips. We want to take the youth to youth conferences. And we do all this type of stuff. You know, we even have Terrific Tuesday, and that's a good thing. And you have over 300, 400 youth there. Why couldn't we have those same amount of youth here yesterday? It's because we have adults that are not focused on the right things, that are not focused on spiritual edification, that are not focused on leading the youth the right way. See, guess what? Because if I'm here, you're going to be there. And if you don't want to go, then you're not going out of town. And maybe that's why I'm not the youth director, because probably wouldn't nobody be going. But that's what we have to do. We have to cut out the fun and make sure that they're learning how to love the Lord. Fun comes with it, but it's not all about fun. They become seniors in high school and still don't know how to teach the gospel to anybody. That's not good, church. Isaiah 55:8-9. The Bible says that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, thus saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Therefore, what the Bible is saying, God is saying that I molded you in my creation. I made you the way you are. And since I made you the way you are, I know what you need and what you don't need. I know which way you need to go and which way you don't need to go. So I don't care what you think or how you feel, I say go this way. And if you want to follow me, you will. If you don't, then you're falling short. And if you're falling short, if you don't get your life right before time is up, you're not going to live with me eternally. Do we want to live with God, you? Do we truly want to live with God? Do we truly love the Lord? You know what love is? Many of us, I know as youth, only loved somebody when they did something I wanted them to do. There were a lot of times I fell out of love with my mom and grandma because they were just mean. But you know, now that I'm a man, I appreciate it a lot more because I realize what my grandmother was doing. My grandmother, she wasn't trying to be my friend. She was my parent. Parents, we have to quit trying to be their friends. We are their parents. When they become adults, maybe we can become friends, but right now, I'm your parent. And I hear too many kids asking their parents now, why? They should be spitting up 5 or 6 teeth. Why? Don't you ask me why? Because I'm paying for everything that you do. Because I buy everything that you have. Because I said so. It's no discussion. So when we look at this, we have to utilize God's playbook. If we have youth that are ballers and callers for the Lord, you have all that you need. I know sometimes when your friends have things that you don't have, sometimes it makes you feel bad, don't it? I've been there. Sometimes when their parents can afford a little bit more stuff where they have nicer shoes, maybe nicer clothes. Sometimes you walk down the hallway, you look down because you feel bad about it. But guess what? Your father owns it all. He's not looking at the outside. This is just a vessel. He's looking at the inside, and the inside is what's precious. See, my grandmother, she raised me and my two sisters, and we didn't have much. My grandmother was on an SSI check because she went blind. She was a nurse. And she made ends meet. I don't know how she made ends meet, but she made ends meet. And I remember I wanted some LA gears that blinked. And I got some Pro Wings that blinked. And you know, my grandmother knew how to stretch a dollar. You know, we had that big old block welfare cheese. the best cheese you had in your life. I wish I could find some today. Those things made the best macaroni and cheese and grilled cheese sandwiches. I think y'all know what I'm talking about. We all gonna be on that same road. The big old cans of peanut butter that made the peanut butter cookies that you use the fork to press down to make the cookie mark. Y'all know what I'm talking about. See, God was good. Although I didn't think God was good back then, God was looking out for me. He didn't give me what I wanted, but he gave me what I needed. See, God's playbook is his holy and divine word. See, when we look at choices, circumstances, and commitments, the choices we make will lead us to the circumstances that we find ourselves in. When I was in school, my sisters were 6 years and 9 years in front of me, and I saw a lot of things not to do. My oldest sister, she had her first child when she was a sophomore in high school. She had her second child when she was a senior in high school. My second sister had her child when she was a senior in college and didn't finish college. And my grandmother told me, she looked at me, she said, "Son, if you go out to have a child, I'm gonna kill you." So I didn't have a child until after I got married, and I was married for a while, because she told me she was gonna kill me, and I really believed that she would kill me. So when we look in Romans chapter 10, God's playbook. You know, Paul was praying. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, he says that my prayer and heart's desire for Israel is that they may be saved. For they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they go about setting up their own system of righteousness. Therefore, not submitting to the righteousness of God. See, zeal is not enough. Being animated for Christ is not enough. Saying you love God is not enough. It's according to knowledge. See, in Hosea 4 and 6, Hosea says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." But then it goes to say, "Because they resisted knowledge." The Bible tells us how to live our life. The Bible tells us how to walk. The Bible tells us how to talk. But too often we resist it. We don't want to listen to it, but we still want to go to heaven. We want all the blessings, but no sacrifices. That's how we are. We're Burger King society. We want it our way. And if we can't have it our way, I'm going to go find somebody that preach it my way. And when you go find somebody that preach it your way, you and the preacher, if y'all don't learn the truth, you on the way to hell. There's no simple way I can say it. The Bible says this. I'm not condemning anybody to hell, but the Bible condemns. I believe and I'm convicted that the church is right. If you don't believe the church is right, if you're not a member of the church, we can have a discussion after today because the church is right. And since I believe in the church, I have passion and zeal for the church. And we can have discussions about the church and whatever congregation that you may go to because the church is right. Your congregation, we will not find it in the Lord's word, but we'll find his church here. In Leviticus chapter 10, as we start to close, we had people that was God's people. We had Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron. They were God's people. Sometimes God's people don't meet the mark. See, they knew what God desired, but they still decided to do what they wanted to do. Choices, circumstances, and commitments. They were committed to self. They were self-serving people. Therefore, they made a choice to offer up fire unto God. If you go to Numbers 3 and 4, it tells you what type of fire. It says that it was a strange fire. So guess what? Their circumstances, it led them to death. because God consumed them right on the spot. God doesn't act like that right now, because the Bible says that he is long-suffering. It says that he's calling all men to repentance. So he's suffering long because he knows that our souls are very precious.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you today, church, that everything that God has for us, it's in his word. God blesses us so that we can bless others. But what happens is, sometimes in our lives, we're not getting blessed in a manner that we feel that we should get blessed because we don't have that relationship with God. The Bible says, if I walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us of all of our sins.
Amen.
That's what I call blessing blockers. When you're at a point in your life and you feel like that you're stalled or you're moving backwards, you need to look in the mirror and look at how you're living your life. Is it in accordance to the word of God? Because God is not going to keep on blessing you to sin and to live a life that's away from him. God is not going to keep on blessing you if you have a debased mind. See, sometimes God is just like a parent. If you're not obedient, sometimes parents pull away. And they just wait for you to come back home. God is waiting for us to come back home. God has so many blessings for you. But whatever you're doing in your life, sometimes it's people in your life. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's the environment. Sometimes it's the associations that God is not able to rain down those blessings on you. God wants to make you a person that can show others who God is. He wants you to be a vessel to others. He wants you to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. But he can't do that if you're living in sinfulness. So if any of us here are here this morning and you're living a life that's full of sin, only you know. But guess what? Even if you're trying to keep it secret, I know how that is as well. I'm not going to say anything about you that I don't say about myself. I think I was one of the best people that knew how to hide sin. You come and you look all good on Sunday, but you know your life is all messed up. You know what's going to happen every week. You know that the preacher's going to offer the invitation, and you don't ask for prayer because you don't want anybody to know about your sinfulness. Well, guess what? God knows.
Amen.
It's not about me. It's not about the church. It's about God. But guess what? If you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you, and the church can pray for you because James says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much.
Amen.
If there's anybody here that's a member of the Lord's church, and you know you're standing a guilty distance away from God, you can bridge that gap today. You can ask God for forgiveness. You don't have to tell me what you were involved in. Just ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
But when you repent, you can't go back to that sinful situation.
Amen.
For example, if you're shacking up, you can't repent today and go back to that house. Somebody got to move out.
Amen.
Because you repent, it means that you're going to change your ways.
Amen.
But I'm changing my mind. So Satan no longer has control of my mind. So since he doesn't have control of my mind, I'm thinking a new way. Since I'm thinking a new way, either you or I, somebody got to get out this house. And if we don't want to get out this house, then Brother Jones, somebody having a wedding today, right? If you want to leave, you marry. If you don't want to marry, you need to leave. So if you need to come back to God, you can come back to God today. Still, if there's anybody here that's not a member of the Lord's church, the Bible says to convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. There's a reason why, because it's imperative that you know the message of God. It's imperative that you're a member of the Lord's church. If anybody's here and you've heard the gospel today and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you can become a member today by believing. When you believe what you heard, you repent of your sins. You change your mind. When you change your mind, then you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. After you do that, you're baptized. Immediately, not next week, not in 2 weeks, not in 3 weeks, not in 4 weeks, not in 6 months, you're baptized right away. Because there's no sinner's prayer that's going to save you. Contact with that water is what saves you. It washes your sins away. It brings you up a new person. But then one thing that I think we forget, Revelations 2 and 10, you have to be faithful to the church unto death. If there's anybody here that needs to come forward, please do that as we stand and sing song number 644.
When we walk with the Lord in the
service, our collection. We're ordered in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1. It reads, "Now concerning the collection of for the saints, I have given orders to the church of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that they be no